Hey everyone, this is Philip Rossman Reich, the host of Locked On Magic. I am actually on vacation right now, a little quick trip here, visiting my sister. She's graduating from graduate school, so we're celebrating that. I'm out of town, unable to record a new episode. So today, since it is such a big week for the Orlando Magic, I am leaving you with a recording of our Twitter space from Friday. This will be our last show before the NBA draft lottery actually takes place. So we'll talk a little bit about what's going on draft day, how the NBA draft lottery actually works, and of course, who the Orlando Magic will take. Before we get into that, though, we want to thank you for making Locked On Magic your first listen every day, no matter when you listen to us, whether it's first thing in the morning, right when we upload, whenever. We truly appreciate you making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. Remember, check out all the great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Download them wherever you download podcasts today. We'd also like to thank today's sponsor of Locked On Magic, Sakara Nutrition. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish. Go to Sakara.com/LockedOn20 or enter code LockedOn20 for 20% off at checkout.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is going to be May 16th, 2022. I'm actually recording this on May 13th, 2022. My name is Philip Rossman Reich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can, of course, follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode of Locked On Magic, we're going to do a replay of our Twitter spaces, which I am starting right now, live at least. We'll be doing our Twitter spaces today, talking about the NBA draft, our last mock draft Friday before the NBA draft, so you're going to get to see the magic of everything happening here. I did a quick tankathon spin. This will be day 33, I think, of our tankathon spin of the day. And so we have the magic with the number one pick for the second week in a row. So we'll talk some draft topics, maybe talk some sleeper picks as well. I'm going to let you kind of control the conversation as we get into it here. So I'm going to set everything up. So we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA draft here on today's show. We obviously did a quick mock draft, quick spin on Tankathon. We do have the Magic with the number one pick, so we'll probably lose that part of our conversation here today because we did that last week. So I want to know what your draft questions are, what thoughts you have. There's a special guest here in our Twitter space here. We've got the six man show here. I'd love to get him on the show. I'd love to have him chat a little bit because the six man show has a big announcement that they made last few days here. If you don't know, if you live in the Orlando area, be sure to head out to Harry Buffalo on Tuesday night for the official Orlando Magic watch party, which the six man show has helped organize. I'm going to be there. I'm actually off on a Tuesday, which is strange. But I'm going to be there hanging out and hopefully giving some good vibes as well. In our mock draft Friday, the Magic do have the number one overall pick. Y'all know who I would take with the number one pick. I'm pretty, you know, it's going to take a lot for me to budge off this. I am very much in the Paolo Banchero camp as far as who the Magic should take with the number one pick. You know, I think obviously I don't want to go like super deep into it. But I will talk a little bit about it here. But our pals at the Six Man Show are here in the Twitter space. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Phil, it's Jonathan. How's it going, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Jonathan?
Doing well, man. I really just joined the space because I wanted to get some more eyes on it to get more people in here for you. But I'm in the car with the kids, so it might be a little noisy. But I appreciate you shouting out the watch party, man. We're really excited.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a good night. Obviously, if you didn't go last year was a lot of fun. I know I helped hook you guys up with Spectrum News 13 in the building. But I'm really excited to be able to enjoy it a little bit as a fan, not necessarily working all that much. It was a great time last year, minus the result. Although we're pretty happy with Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner, I think in the end. Hopefully this year we're all celebrating a little bit more.
That is definitely the hope. Would love for you guys to come out it's going to be a great time either way, regardless of the result, just kind of the buildup and everything like that. Last year was just so much fun, and especially if you don't have an opportunity to be around a ton of diehard Magic fans, you know, all the time, like even at games, you know, you sit next to a lot of casuals sometime, but this, you know, the draft lottery is for the diehards, you know what I mean? So it's going to be a great time. Would love to see everybody there. Yeah, man, I'm excited to hear your mock draft.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into it, but I'm gonna put you on the spot here first. We ran a take-a-thon spin. Easiest outcome we can get: Magic with the number one overall pick. Who would you take with the number one pick? Are you not there yet?
I keep going back and forth. Really, the top three to me, I'm not gonna be mad with anybody. If you're gonna put me on the spot, I'll go Paolo, number one.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm in the boat with you there. Can I wring a little bit of reasoning out of you, or do you want to reserve that for your show?
Yeah, sorry, my connection isn't the best right now. I just think he looks like an NBA player, great size, obviously the athleticism, the strength, shot making ability. You know, I think he could be kind of molded into a great defender. He has all the physical tools to do that. I think he looks to me to be the most NBA ready, and to me he screams, you know, quality NBA player.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Of all the guys at the top of this draft, he just feels like a star the most to me, if that makes sense. He feels like he's the guy, you know, you can give the ball to late in the game, and he's not going to be afraid of the moment. I think for me, you know, I really like Paolo throughout the draft process. And it's not that I don't like Jabari Smith. It's not that I don't like some of the other players that are out there or among those top three. It's that, you know, in the NCAA tournament, in the biggest games of the year, Duke was giving the ball to Paolo, and Paolo was largely converting for them. And again, I think we all kind of recognize the biggest need Orlando has is just a guy who can create a little bit for himself. I think Cole Anthony tries his hardest, but we watched enough of this team struggling to kind of create and force the defense to react to them. And I think a lot of Paolo's flaws are things that he can work on and improve on. I think he can become a better three-point shooter. I think that he can be a good defender. It's really going to be up to him. I think that's going to be the big question for him. I think there's just a little bit of fine-tuning and just kind of, you know, a little bit of an attitude adjustment on that end. But, you know, the Magic need offense more than anything else, and they need a guy that they can really build around. And I think Paolo is that guy. And that's why I have him kind of edging out Jabari Smith right now. I'll be doing another big board this weekend before the NBA draft lottery, and I'll probably have a new number one on my board, because the more I've been thinking about it, the more I've been doing these mock draft exercises, the more I just kind of keep turning to, you can give the ball to Paolo and he can get you a bucket, and you watch the playoffs. That's what you need the most. That's what the Magic struggled with in 2019 and 2020 in the playoffs. You need a guy who can just create a little bit and get a bucket for you. And I think that's ultimately going to be Paolo.
Yeah. I can tell you as a North Carolina fan, in that Final Four game, I was so relieved that down the stretch, they stopped going to Paolo.
Because it's the reason they lost, man.
There's nothing that Brady Manek could, as much as I love Brady Manek, there was nothing he could do to stop Paolo, you know, for the better part of that second half. In the last 3 or 4 minutes, they just stopped going to him. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to have a chance to win this game now. And I think I'm right there with you. I do love Jabari Smith. The individual playmaking concerns, I definitely understand that the more that I watch him. To me, you know, we keep talking about the results of this draft lottery. As long as we end up in the top three, even the top four, I'm starting to talk myself a little bit into Shaedon Sharpe if we end up out of the top three. But I think that's largely going to depend on, you know, the Magic's due diligence and how he performs in workouts and everything like that. I just, obviously not playing in Kentucky, there are a lot of questions with Shaedon Sharpe. But yeah, I think if we end up one or two, I think in some order it ends up, you know, Chet and Paolo in the top two. I think, you know, Jabari probably goes three, and then four, you know, after that, it gets a little bit more interesting, but I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun night. And, you know, I like the draft lottery most of all, because it kind of quiets all the talk and it really sets the future for this team. Like it's hard for me to, like, I'm very much like, give me concrete facts kind of guy. it's hard for me to like kind of speculate too far out because we just don't know. And I think where the Magic end up, who the Magic end up taking, that's gonna help them determine what they do with their cap room this offseason and what direction they really feel like they can go. And again, I think, you know, again, by the time we get to late June, I think they'll have an idea of, okay, this is where Franz Wagner is at in his development, because they'll be watching him probably in the gym or getting ready for summer league. They'll have a better understanding of where their roster's at and how aggressive they can be this offseason, because the Magic are certainly a team that could be a real big player this offseason, although we kind of expect them to kind of nibble on the edges a little bit with the cap room that they have.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm right there with you. I'm waiting for the draft order to be set before I dive too much into a lot of these other prospects outside of the top three or four there, just because I can't get excited if I don't know where we're going to be picking. So I'm really excited for Tuesday. Obviously, I think it's going to be a great day. I've got, you know, good feelings, but I woke up last year on the day of the lottery convinced that we were going to be drafting Cade Cunningham, and we all know how that turned out. So this year I'm trying to go into this with lowered expectations and almost expecting us to get five or six, and then just be ecstatic if the result is anything better than that.
Hey, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. You know, I will say, kind of like last year's draft, there are like six or seven guys that I feel fairly comfortable with. Obviously, the higher you pick, the better player you're theoretically going to get. But this draft is not last year's draft in terms of talent, but there are still some really good players. And I think no matter where the Magic end up drafting, they're going to get, I think, a quality player that's going to help them kind of take another step for the franchise. You know, maybe not the step they need to take. I think we all understand the biggest need for this franchise is top end talent. And that's going to be the biggest struggle for now. But unfortunately, top end talent is determined by both where you're positioned in the lottery and how good your scouting department is. I think there are some criticisms you can make about Jeff Weltman and his ability to draft. But I think he's done a decent job so far. But it's about, you know, we'll get someone that's going to push this team forward, whether it's, you know, Shaedon Sharpe, whether it's Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero. You know, I'm not the biggest Jaden Ivey guy, but Jaden Ivey's a ridiculously talented player too. And you know, I'm a big fan of Keegan Murray and Ben Mathurin. So I've named more than six guys there that I feel pretty comfortable about drafting.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I think Ivey is slipping a little bit for me as well. Leaning, you know, if we end up five or six, you know, I don't think that you can be mad at Jaden Ivey around there. You know, I just keep going back to, you know, I'd say what you will about John Calipari, but, you know, he's convinced that if Shaedon Sharpe came back to Kentucky, you know, he'd be the number one pick in the draft next year. I'm sure a lot of that is just really for Kentucky's own benefit, wanting him to come back. But, you know, Calipari has seen a lot of talented guys come through that door. John Wall, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, Devin Booker, you name it. You know, say what you want about his in-game strategy and coaching ability and ability to adjust on the fly, but the guy can identify talent. And I'm really intrigued to see how Shaedon Sharpe, because I think he's going to be one of those guys that's going to need to participate in some team workouts if he's looking to elevate his draft stock. And just interested to see kind of what comes out of that. I'd be interested what you think of Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah, I've watched a little bit of tape on Shaedon Sharpe, and obviously it's high school, so it's hard to draw too much into it, but the guy is really athletic. He has NBA three-point range. I know his shot and his attacking are still some stuff that teams want him to work on. What really impressed me was he's an explosive two-foot leaper. A lot of his highlights are him grabbing a rebound and exploding off of 2 feet and finishing at the rim. And obviously doing that in the high school level is different than doing it at the NBA level. But that displays a certain amount of strength and athleticism that's really, really good to have. You know, I've read a lot of the stuff that says if Shaedon Sharpe had played, he might be the number one pick in this draft. So, you know, you can't ignore the talent. I suspect his agent is going to be very protective of him. And I kind of noted this on my podcast on Friday or today. That if I were his agent, I feel like I hold the cards. I have the super talented player. You know, you see where the draft order shakes out. You probably work out or interview with the number one team, but really, if I'm his agent, I pick where I want to go. If I don't like who the number one team is, if Shaedon doesn't like who the number one team is, I'm not sending him there. They, you know, that he's not, that you could keep the mystery up that way too. So I think Shaedon Sharpe's people, I think Shaedon Sharpe holds all the cards about where he goes. It's kind of a unique situation in that way. And, you know, obviously, I do think Jeff Weltman deserves credit in this sense. People trust him. Agents like him. Players like him. He's got a good reputation around the league. So I would suspect that the Magic will at least get an interview with him. It sounds like Shaden's going to do a pro day with his agency. I doubt he will do workouts against other players. You know, they want to kind of keep that mystery up and kind of make everyone see the high school tape and surmise from that. That's probably the best way to kind of to gin up his draft stock, because if he fails to perform against another top prospect, then obviously things can go sideways very, very quickly and word can get out and get around like that. I think Shaedon, people are really starting to dig into Shaden's tape, you know, non-draft people. And I think there is a lot to like there. I've kind of had him probably fourth. I'll probably have him fourth on my board when it comes out on Monday, just because, again, the Magic need star power. This guy has star power. He can play both guard, both wing positions. I think he would be a really good fit roster wise, as much as skill and talent wise to this team.
Yeah, I think you make some really good points specifically about, you know, kind of the control that he has over the draft process. And when I said, you know, kind of working out for some of the teams, I was more alluding to, you know, that top 4 to 5 range, but you make a great point that he kind of has the convenience or the luxury to kind of pick and choose who he's going to work out for. I don't think he's going to be working out for like lower lottery teams and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, kind of how this whole narrative around him evolves as we lead up to the draft. It would not surprise me at all if he is, you know, ends up being in that top 3 to 4 conversation. Like you said, I probably have him, you know, 4 or 5, you know, somewhere in there in terms of my big board right now. But the talent is definitely intriguing, especially if you were a follower of the Magic that was hoping for like a Jalen Green-esque player in the last draft. You know, Shaedon Sharpe is not exactly the same kind of player, but I think his, you know, some similar skills to Jalen Green. So yeah, man, really looking forward to Tuesday so that we can get the draft order solidified, and then we can really start speculating a bit more about, you know, where the Magic, you know, where they'll be and who they'll be able to take.
Yeah, for sure. Jonathan, thanks for hopping on. Hope you enjoy the Twitter Spaces experience. I've tried it the last couple of weeks here. It's a really great outlet, really great way to interact with people, as will be Tuesday's draft party. So if you're draft lottery party. So if you're in the Orlando area, Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando, it's right on Church Street across the street from the Amway Center on the other side of I-4. I think the party officially starts at 7. The draft lottery is at 8. We'll all be hanging out there. Come hang with some Magic fans. I know we can be a quiet bunch, but we will let the world hear us when the Magic's name comes up last in the draft lottery there.
That's right. Thank you guys.
Good vibes only at Harry Buffalo. Thanks. Thanks Jonathan for jumping on here. Let's take a quick break so I can tell you a little bit about Sakara. Feeling your best starts with what you eat. Sakara helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for living in your best body. Now is the time to seek wellness, joy, and abundance in all areas of your life, starting with what you eat. With Sakara, you get 8 nutrient-dense meals, snacks, and supplements that nourish your body without ever sacrificing taste or quality. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Sakara gives you the tools you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. The nutritionally designed, chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners are made with powerful plant-rich ingredients, helping boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, and get your skin glowing. Plus, it's all delivered right to your door, ready to eat. Sakara's functional, plant-rich wellness essentials help you create a body you love living in. From their best-selling metabolism super powder to the foundation, their daily supplement packs, Sakara's products are designed to help your wellness goals anytime, anywhere. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/lockedon20 or enter code LOCKEDON20 at checkout. That's Sakara, SAKARA.com/LockedOn20 to get 20% off your first order, or Sakara.com/LockedOn20. We want to thank you again for making Locked On Magic your first listen every day. Go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast to get yourself caught up on the draft prospects ahead of the NBA Draft Combine, especially. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter are joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA Draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. As you can see, there's a lot to talk about here when it comes to the NBA draft. In the mock draft spin that we did, the Magic did end up with the number one overall, with the number one pick. I've explained why I would take Paolo Banchero. I see some familiar faces in here, but if you have never spoken here on Twitter Spaces and you would not take Paolo Banchero with the number one pick, make a speaker request or raise your hand. I don't know exactly how it works here as a listener. Go ahead and raise your hand. Let us know who you would take with the number one pick. Do you agree with our takes on Shaedon Sharpe? Do you think that Sharpe is a little bit higher on the Magic's board than otherwise? Let's dig a little bit deeper into the draft. Who are guys that the Magic could take with the 32nd or 35th pick, or even trade back up into the first round to take? It's something I'm going to kind of dive a little bit more into here in the next couple of weeks once the draft order is really set. Trying to figure out who the targets are for the Magic to trade back into the first round. And again, like I said on the episode earlier today, it's on the episode of Locked On Magic earlier today. It's about the person and the player, not the pick number. I'm not going up there saying I want to target the 22nd pick. There's a team you obviously want to target because they're probably the big enticement the Magic have to trade back into the first round is Terrence Ross. I do think the Magic tried to get a first round pick for Terrence Ross at the trade deadline. They weren't able to do that. I think that it's very possible that that's what the Magic are going to try and do again, that they'll be insistent on getting back into the first round, even if it costs them another second round pick. I think that that is one of the team's big goals, and it's about figuring out which player you want to go for with that pick. Again, it's not about the pick number. It's about the player you take. It's always about the player you take. And you shouldn't be, just because someone doesn't have player X going fifth or sixth or whatever, if your player is there, you take that player. I'm a big believer when it comes to the draft, do what you can to get your person, your player. Don't worry about what number you have to take them at. That's really just salary slotting at that point. Some players that I've been looking at toward the end of the first round that I really like, again, whether they fit the Magic is certainly is another question to explore. I'm beginning to really like the idea of maybe chasing Christian Coloco of Arizona. He's projected to be a late first, early second round pick. Very late bloomer from Arizona. He was the Pac-12 most improved player of the year last year, the Pac-12 defensive player of the year. Great shot blocker, great finisher around the rim. Not a lot of offensive game to him. He had a big spike in production during his junior season. I think the Magic do need to find a third center somewhere. We don't know if they're bringing back Mo Bamba. We don't know if Wendell Carter's future is at the center. So I do anticipate the Magic will spend some free agent money on the center position. Again, whether that means they should draft a center is certainly another question. If the plan is to sign a free agent center, don't draft a center because you want the rookie to be able to play. Especially if you're going to use a first round pick, you want to try and create a pathway for that player to actually contribute and be a part of your team and all that. So I'm looking at Christian Coloco as a potential late first round target. I still like the idea of Nikola Jovic. I know the Magic are pretty loaded at that big four position. And Jovic has a lot of defensive questions, which is why he's not so high. But his playmaking and his ability to score at his size are something that's really impressive to me. I'm kind of surprised that he's not getting a little bit more buzz. I suspect that he will be a player that makes some waves at the NBA Draft Combine next week. The other guy that I'm beginning to kind of take a shine to and read into a little bit more is Usman Jang from the New Zealand Breakers in the NBL. He is a 6'9", 6'10 point guard, essentially. He's a kind of a point forward type player. Really good playmaker. Again, the shot, I think, is something that still has to come along. He's super, super young, but he's another player that I think could make some waves and make some noise through the workout process. I also like his teammate, Hugo Basin, but he's probably more of a second round pick, still a super raw player. Really finished the season on a strong note. He struggled at the beginning of the year, really finished the season strong. We've seen a lot of NBL players from Australia really, really play well. I think that Australian league has really gotten a good reputation among draft people and among those in the draft. I want to know, who are your prospects that you like? This is going to be our last mock draft Friday before the NBA draft lottery takes place. Who is the guy that you hope the Magic take, whether it's number one, whether it's number two? Are you not a Paolo Banchero guy? Tell me that Paolo Banchero is not the pick. This is your space to ask any Magic questions that you have. So if you want to raise your hand and jump in the conversation here on Twitter Spaces, I'm here to listen to you and answer your questions. Doesn't have to be about the draft necessarily. This is going to be my last podcast for Locked On Magic before the NBA draft lottery. So you'll be on the show, which is exciting. But I want to know what you guys are thinking ahead of the NBA draft lottery and ahead of this big moment for the Orlando Magic. You know, whether we like to admit it or not, a ping pong ball is going to determine, these four ping pong balls are going to determine a lot of the Magic's future and a lot of what they hope to accomplish. And of course, it's all about player development at that point. It's all about getting the right person in and figuring out how they fit into the roster or making the roster fit around them. More than anything else, I think that's what the Magic need, is they need a guy to fit their roster around. I like Franz Wagner a lot. I don't think Franz Wagner is a number one guy. We got to see what Markel Fultz and Jalen Suggs can still be. But obviously, I think this Magic team is still searching for that number one guy. And even if it's a stopgap option until they can find it or they can create the trade capital to find that guy, the Magic certainly need a good draft night. I thought they had a good draft night last year. Franz Wagner, obviously going to be an all-rookie team player. I still have a lot of optimism about what Jalen Suggs can become, even if it's just another Marcus Smart-type player. Those are really useful players. Those are guys that can be part of a winning team. But I still think we're missing that big, big piece. So the Magic absolutely have to nail this draft. They have to get the right pick, the right person to help build this team. What Magic questions do you have? I'll launch into my NBA draft lottery explainer. If that's what y'all want to hear at this point. But I want to know what you guys are thinking. So feel free to raise your hand, make a speaker request. Again, I'm not quite sure how it works as a listener. So request to speak. If you have any questions about the Magic, I'm happy to answer any question that you have right now, about the team or about the draft right now. Let's get a word in from our pal Daniel Mortensen. Daniel, wait for you to connect here, and there you are. Daniel, how's it going, man?
Hey, going well, Philip. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
So my question, actually, if in fact we do end up falling five or six, I know we've talked about Shaedon Sharpe. We've talked a little bit about Jaden Ivey and Keegan Murray. I think there's one other person that could sneak into that group, which would be AJ Griffin. A lot of that is predicated on the fact that he has the three-point shooting that would space out, help space the floor. He shot over 40% in college on five attempts. He has the NBA pedigree with his dad being an assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors.
Former Magic assistant, too.
Yep, almost. And he was almost the choice for the head coach.
Yep.
And he has the pedigree, and he has the ability defensively. He has plus wingspan. He does have the ability defensively if his athleticism returns from the knee injury he had previously. So he has that too for us. I actually think he could be a sneaky good choice. He's kind of similar to that Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown archetype. I want to get your opinions though.
Yeah, I have admittedly kind of put AJ Griffin on a tier lower than a lot of my top guys. Frankly, just when I've watched him, like, all that stuff is there. He's a decent three-point shooter. He's a good defender. But he never popped off the screen to me. And, I feel like, and maybe I'm falling into this trap. Maybe I'm falling into the kind of the James Booknight trap where, we all want a guy with star potential, but those are kind of big swings. That's one of the reasons why I was kind of not really super in favor of drafting Franz Wagner. I didn't think Franz Wagner would be as successful in Orlando or what Orlando needed. I just don't feel like AJ Griffin is particularly that consistent. the games that I watched, you know, he was kind of invisible, or, you know, if his shot's not going down, there's just really not a lot he can do. So to me, you know, there is a point where this draft really falls off. And if you listen to a lot of the draft people, they'll say that like picks 14 through 25 or something like that could be anything. Like a lot of these guys are the same, and it could even extend a little bit further than pick 14. And so, you know, again, Nick Griffin's not that low. I think that he'll go higher before 10, but I've just never been super impressed with him from the tape that I've watched. Maybe I need to go watch some more tape. Maybe I need to have a better understanding of him, but I just kind of see him very limited as a 3-and-D guy. Not a super explosive score, not even like a kind of spurty 3-point shooter. He's just going to be really solid. Again, that's not a bad thing. I am a little bit concerned that it won't translate as much to the NBA. And again, I don't think that he's necessarily, you know, if the Magic had a second pick, if they had their top pick and then another pick like last year, if the Magic were picking AJ Griffin eighth in the same way that they picked Franz Wagner eighth, I'd say, okay, that makes some sense to me. That's adding a nice role player to the star you just added to someone big. In this draft that high, you know, I want to take a guy with a little bit more upside. And that's why I kind of have Ben Mathurin ahead of him. Benedict Mathurin, he's an improving 3-point shooter. He's not nearly the 3-point shooter that AJ Griffin is, but he's an improving 3-point shooter. He's just as good of a defender. He can explode to the basket a little bit more. He's got more athleticism. I just think that there are better versions of AJ Griffin out there that I would take ahead of him. You know, again, a lot of these scouts probably know a lot more than me, and maybe I need to watch more tape on him, but I'm just not super, AJ Griffin just doesn't pop off the screen to me. Like, you know, I know Mark Williams isn't a top guy, but like Mark Williams popped off the screen to me more than AJ Griffin did on those Duke teams. And maybe it's just because I was a center in high school, so I always watch centers a little bit more closely. I was just never really impressed with what I saw from AJ Griffin this year.
Makes sense. And then one other question. Can you give me any professional comparisons for Keegan Murray? I've seen a lot of like Otto Porter Jr., which has kind of scared me off. I've seen Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Pascal Siakam. I do think that is somebody that we really have to pay attention to based on Wellingham's penchant for taking players out of the Big Ten and players who have played their second year in college in the wingspan.
Yeah. I'm trying to think a little bit about that. Cause you know, I don't think he's sort of like any of those players, to be perfectly honest. Cause you know, Tobias Harris was never the 3-point shooter. He's always a little bit more ISO oriented. I don't think he's Al Horford. I don't think he's a center in that way. Al Horford was really a traditional power forward in college. A name that comes to mind for me, is Desmond Bain. I don't think he's as big, you know, as Desmond Bain is, but Desmond Bain kind of got knocked for staying in college for 4 years, and was a really good shooter and a, you know, pretty good defender at TCU, his senior year. Keegan Murray's kind of got the same knock against him. He stayed in school longer. He's a little bit older for this draft class, but he's a knockdown shooter. He comes off screens really, really well. I don't think he's a bigger Richard Hamilton, but he works in a lot of the same ways as kind of coming off of screens, coming off of pin downs. You know, he's just a really gifted scorer, and he's got good athleticism to finish around the basket. So, you know, I'm a big Keegan Murray fan. It's not just my Big Ten bias there. I think there's a lot to like about him, and I think he's going to be able to contribute pretty quickly as a shooter. Maybe not necessarily as a pure scorer, but as a shooter, at least the moment he steps on the floor. Let's take another quick break so I can tell you a little bit about Built Bar. Now, imagine dipping your finger into that plastic tub of birthday cake frosting. We've all done it. No shame at all in that. And then opening your eyes and realizing that was only 150 calories and 16 grams of protein. That's not your typical ice cream cake icing, batter. That's not what you expect. This is what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built. I just received my birthday cake puffs. I'm super excited. It's one of the flavors that I've been most excited to try, and I have never had anything like this before. I've had the birthday cake sprinkle one. That was really, really good. I've had some of the chocolate, German chocolate cake ones. I'm really excited to try this and dive in, because who doesn't love birthday cake frosting? Who doesn't love birthday cake as a flavor, especially for a protein bar? Now, it's really fun too, because these puff bars are like little protein-infused marshmallows in the middle of your bar. So this is literally like eating a candy bar, but it's full of protein and it's low calorie too. With 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, and only 9 grams of sugar, this limited time flavor is an amazing option if you're looking for a healthy way to get flavor and variety in your day. All Built Puffs are covered in 1% real chocolate. That means that with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Go to Built.com to get your birthday cake puffs today. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com to check out the birthday puffs today. Try out the other flavors that they have there too. That's Built.com. Put in code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Thank you, Daniel, for the questions. If anyone else has any questions or any comments they want to make, again, who's the prospect that you're keeping an eye on here in the NBA draft? Who's the guy that you are looking for? Who do you think the Magic should trade up to get? Who's kind of the sleeper to get into the sixth pick? AJ Griffin's a great answer for a guy that the Magic could take at six that could surprise a lot of people. That would not surprise me. Again, I know I just kind of said I'm low on AJ Griffin, but would not surprise me if that is a direction the Magic do end up going. He does have a lot of things the Magic like. I think there are players better than him on my board, but again, everyone's board is different. So who's your sleeper pick if the Magic end up six? Who's the guy that maybe is off the wall? Let's ask that question straight up. Who do you hope is left for the Magic at six that you would take if that's where they end up? Because again, statistically, that is the most likely place the Magic are going to end up. As much as we want to have good vibes only, we do have to be prepared for any scenario that might happen on Tuesday. I'm here for you guys. If you want to jump in and ask any other Magic questions that you might have, request to speak. Again, I'm not quite sure how it works on the listener end here in Twitter Spaces. Go ahead, request to speak. I'm here to answer your questions. I'll hang out here probably for another 10-ish minutes or so, and then we'll close up shop for the day. But I'm here to answer your questions and hear what you guys have to say here as we get ready for the NBA draft lottery on Tuesday. I do like to do this every time the Magic are in the NBA draft lottery. So I'll kind of go into the spiel now. I think that as good and fun as Tankathon is, and I love Tankathon as a resource and as kind of a culture site. I think Tankathon does a kind of poor job actually displaying how the lottery works. It's not their fault. I think people like simplicity. I think people like the idea of, oh, if I hit this button, there's a 14% chance the Magic will turn up and win the lottery, or there's a 52% chance we'll end up in the top four. And that's essentially how the lottery works. But I do think it's actually important for fans to understand how the lottery mechanically actually works. It's explained a little bit. If you go on YouTube, you can actually watch, the NBA, after the lottery show is completed, will post the actual lottery results. We'll post the actual lottery proceedings that are done in the sequestered room where their team representatives watch the actual lottery taking place. The lottery is not cheated. There is no way that the league could rig the lottery. It is so procedural. What the league does is they put 14 ping pong balls numbered 1 through 14 in a drum. So all the ping pong balls just go rattling about. They draw one number, they draw four numbers. So what we're really competing for, and I say this during all the draft proceedings and during the tanking proceedings, and people kind of wave it off, but what you're actually playing for is number combinations. There are 1,001 number combinations that can be made with four digits using the numbers 1 through 14 once. I believe it's 1,001. So essentially what you're playing for are these number combinations. The teams with the worst record in the league,
get, I think it's 250 number, or they get, it's 140 number combinations. That's how you get the 14% number. You get 140 number combinations. The first 140 go to the team with the worst record. So that's the Houston Rockets. The next 140 go to the Orlando Magic. So essentially what will happen is if they draw the number 1, 2, 3, 4, the Houston Rockets win the NBA draft lottery. We're done. Essentially, I think the Rockets get every number combination with the numbers 1 and 2 in them. So that's what happens. Orlando, the Magic, I think the Magic's numbers start at like 1-4 or 1-3 or something like that, or deep 1-3. I tried mapping out the number combinations before, but essentially what the NBA draft lottery is it just a drawing of four numbers. And so again, you play all season for these number combinations. When there's a tiebreaker, like I explained to people, what they're actually breaking, the tie they're actually breaking is how many number combinations or which set of number combinations those tied teams get. They split the number combinations evenly if they have different percentages. But that's what those tiebreakers are in the lottery sense. So what we're really playing for is those lottery combinations, those numbers, and how they split out. I think, I did this last year. I watched the actual lottery and I said, I think Cleveland's pick was the closest the Magic came to actually winning the lottery. There was something like if a 2 had been drawn instead of a 4, the Magic would have won the lottery that year, or would have gotten the third pick and essentially drafted Evan Mobley, perhaps. That's how the lottery works. So when I will do that again when the NBA posts the lottery, I will go watch it and I will say if this number had been drawn instead of this number, the Magic would have won the lottery. And that's literally what the lottery turns on. It's literally that stuff. If no one is drawn and a 1 is drawn on that last number, suddenly you go from like the Houston Rockets being losers of the lottery to being winners of the lottery. It's literally stuff like that. It's really incredible watching. Of course, it's completely by chance. There's no way that they could fake this stuff. And there's no way that they could rig this if they wanted to. The balls are drawn at predetermined intervals. There's a guy with a stopwatch literally telling them draw, and they draw the next number. So it's fascinating to watch. Part of me wishes they'd just do the real lottery drawing live. I think that would not be as exciting TV, obviously, but I think it would kill a lot of the conspiracy theories about the lottery. And I'm glad the NBA started releasing the actual lottery drawing after the fact. I will share that when it gets posted, because I do find that stuff kind of fascinating. And again, it's all luck. All this stuff is luck. As much as these guys are math wizards and try to get the odds all in their favor, at the end of the day, it is a lottery. It is all luck, and there's nothing you can do about any of it. Like I tell people who complain about the 2017 draft, if the Magic had won 2 more games, they would have picked 2nd. All of it would have been moot. That's the reality of it too. So that's my lottery explainer. I do it every year. So we'll probably do it again next year at some point. I'm getting ready to close up shop here because I do have to I am on a little bit of a tight deadline here. So if you have any last questions about the Magic, about the draft, go ahead and jump in with a speaker request or raise your hand right now. Otherwise, we will close up shop and wrap things up here for this final mock draft Friday before the NBA draft lottery. Anyone want to jump in? Anyone have a question? Anyone have something they want to get off their chest about the Orlando Magic here? Okay, seeing that there are no questions, I want to thank everyone for joining the Twitter Spaces. I hope you had a good time enjoying this. I hope you've enjoyed the lottery process. I will not speak to you again until after the NBA draft lottery, so I hope to see some of you at the NBA draft lottery party. Again, the draft lottery takes place at 8 o'clock on ESPN. A bunch of us will be heading to the official NBA draft lottery party on Tuesday at 7 p.m., That will be at Harry Buffalo in downtown Orlando. So definitely check us out there if you want to hang out with some Magic fans and either celebrate or wash away your sadness. Good vibes only allowed, though, so everything's going to be just okay. For those of you that don't know, I'm also the host of Locked On Magic. You can follow me there on Twitter. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Himley, Google Play, Spotify, Odyssey. All of them places to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. You can also follow me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_MB. We'll have plenty more on Orlando Magic Daily. We're wrapping up our player evaluations here before the NBA draft lottery. We're trying to get it done before the NBA draft lottery. And then we'll be going heavy into the draft once the draft lottery takes place as we get ready for this critical NBA draft for the Orlando Magic. But that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank everyone who joined the Twitter spaces. I want to thank everyone who is listening to the replay on Locked On Magic. Until next time, for Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, this is Joel Brosnick. We'll see you again next time here on Twitter spaces as well as on Locked On Magic. Have a good weekend, everybody.